Few announcements before the homily. Just a reminder that right after Mass, we have our weekly novena to the Miraculous Medal. So if you're able to stay for that, please remain in your pews. The deacon service and I will go in order to offer the prayers. We ask you to join spiritually in with those prayers. After the novena, we start our new confession times here Monday through Thursday. So right after the novena, I'll be in the confessional until 1:30. So the new confession time, 12:45 until 1:30 Monday through Thursday. This is one more step in that direction that we're hoping to eventually have the sacrament as available as possible, so no one can ever say, I need to go to confession and I couldn't get there. Speaking of which, I remind you that tonight we have our weekly holy hour now, 7 to 8 p.m. There's, of course, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament and confessions during that. Now, because of the response, we start that novena to St. Monica, that adoration time with the novena to St. Monica. This past Monday, came up, offered the prayers in front of her window, and later, one family reached out to me and they said, Father, we missed the announcement. We didn't realize you were doing that. And they said they were moved to tears as they prayed for their adult children to St. Monica at the beginning of adoration. So that's going to be at 7 o'clock. We do the prayer, and then we go right in adoration. And then it's just an hour of prayer, and confessions are available. Truth be told, I started that as an opportunity for confessions. And I thought, well, if we're going to be here, might as well have the Blessed Sacrament adoration. Now there are a lot of people who tell me, Father, I'm pretty good with confession. I go in the mornings or so on, but I just like to come on Monday evenings in order to have adoration. I'm thinking, well, that's a double, right? It's great being Catholic. We can just put all this stuff together. Because of the response, we're also able to add benediction. So we have benediction now at 8 o'clock. So if you're able to come early, you can join us for the prayer to St. Monica. Maybe stay the whole hour. If not, you can come later and then receive the benediction at 8 p.m. See, again, I keep saying how great it is to be Catholic. We have all these wonderful things. Huh? Good stuff. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So if you're a little caught off guard today by the prophet Jeremiah, that's exactly what God wants. Remember that when Jeremiah and the other prophets were preaching, Israel had already received instruction on the covenant. They thought they knew. They thought they knew. So in order to be taken seriously, the prophets had to become shock jocks, right? They had to get the attention of the people. Because of that, God asked them to do crazy things, right, to really catch the attention. Did you catch what happened today? God tells Jeremiah, make yourself some underwear. Okay, it's kind of weird, but okay, sure. And he says, now go and take them and bury them. And we're assuming they weren't soiled, right? Right. And he's like, okay, that's kind of interesting. And he does it, and then later God says, now go dig them up. Now this is getting even weirder, right? So he goes, he digs them up. It's like, what is this all about? You can imagine the prophet holding these dirty underwear, like this loincloth. And then God says, now show this to my people and tell them that as I have allowed this loincloth to rot, so Judah's pride was Jerusalem, the temple. So I will allow Judah's pride to rot because they have made false gods to me, before me. Dear friends, we have to understand what God is trying to tell us. Oftentimes in these prophetic symbols, to get our attention. Today we try to preach the gospel. People are like, yeah, I know. Jesus loves me. They don't understand Jesus. They don't understand love. They don't even understand themselves. So once again, we're in a situation where we have to now find new methods, new ardor, a new approach. What Pope St. John Paul II called the new evangelization. Once again, we are forced to be shock jocks in order to get the attention of our neighbors who think they know the Christian message but don't have a clue. Incidentally, this is why this particular priest preaches with such vehemence and passion. This is why I raise my voice, because I think this message is worth being excited about. I think it's important that people pay attention to what has been given to us. This is the most important message ever given to the human family. And yet people say it's okay to raise your voice for a sports team, but not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Disagree with that. I disagree with that. I think now, once again, we have to be prophetic. Do you know, dear friends, that each of us in our baptism, we receive the exact same anointing, the exact same anointing that Jeremiah received, and Isaiah, and Daniel, and all the prophets? In our baptism, we were anointed a prophet. And I think so oftentimes that prophetic office goes unused. We have to start fanning that into flame.
and using that well.
That's all the baptized. Of course, today we celebrate my priestly anniversary. Did you catch a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about confession? I said, for 14 years, my sister, leave it to sister, called me and said, what are you talking about? You've only been a priest for 13 years. I'm like, no, 14 years. She said, you were ordained in 2007. That's 13 years. I said, no, COVID, I get two for one. You might recall my first anniversary here was my 10th anniversary. That was a year into it. But I've been here at Our Lady of Grace for almost 4 years. I blurred my math, and I was giving myself an extra year. But today is actually my 13th anniversary. And I can recall back first hearing the call to be a priest. The time I didn't understand it, in the fourth grade, my mom was driving my sister and I back home from school. And in my heart, I was trying to think which one of the little girls in my classroom was going to be my girlfriend. And out of the clear blue, in a way I did not understand, God moved my heart, and I remember thinking, well, I'll just become a priest, and then I can love them all. I know, right? Real Casanova over here, huh? But in the course of time, I've understood that the priestly call of the priest, the celibate call of the priest, is to love more. When I was making my retreat before my ordination, we were required to do one. I went up to Northern Ontario to a small community called Madonna House that's very dear to my heart. The writings of the servant of God, Catherine Doherty. I don't quote her, but I preach her often. And while up there, I remember praying in a Postinia. I had to walk all the way out into the middle of nowhere. This little shack. Just me, bread, water, and the scripture. And I was begging God to give me a word. And there was nothing. Nothing. Hot. Scared of the black bears. The black flies were taking pieces of my flesh off of my body, right? I'm thinking, Lord, you got to give me a word because I've got to get out of here. Okay. And the only word I received at the very end was Holocaust. I didn't understand that word at the time. Then later, after I got home and all the hustle and bustle of ordination planning, I forgot about that word until the litany of the saints during the ordination mass. When I laid prostrate at the feet of the bishop, successor of the apostles, and the litany of the saints was being invoked, all the holy ones, and the only thing that was on my mind was that word, Holocaust, to be a living sacrifice, an oblation for the sake of the kingdom of God. Do you know, dear friends, we're all called to do that. In the Eucharistic prayer today, we will pray, accept this oblation of our servants. Are we an oblation? Have we truly offered ourselves as a sacrifice? If you don't come before the altar of God at least exhausted a little bit for the kingdom, then you're not doing it right. If you've been comfortable, lazy, enjoying easy street, then you're not doing this right. Our lives as Christians, as anointed prophets, are to live as an oblation. We forgive those who've hurt us, kills us. We die to ourselves. We go the extra mile for even people who are unkind to us. We forgive, we show kindness, we give what other people don't expect. We oftentimes give what they might not deserve. We constantly seek to die to ourselves. Someone will say, that person hurt your family, you should crush them. The unbeliever says. The Christian says, that person hurt your family. Love them. Give them extra compassion. Seek their conversion. That's what we do. We take this fallen world and we turn it upside down by the grace of our baptism. As a priest, I am called to model that for you, to preach it, even as we carry that mantle together. Today we offer this Mass. We thank God for 13 years of priestly service. We pray that the baptized who remain faithful understand what you have been given, the life that we have accepted, the most excellent way of love, the way of the cross. We pray that all the baptized will be stirred into greatness, into greater fidelity, even as this priest prays that he might also be stirred to even greater fidelity. Let's work hard for the kingdom of God. Let's shout the message from the rooftops, because this is the most important message ever given to humanity. And the sacrifice that the Lord has offered deserves it. It merits it. It's worth it. Die to yourselves, dear friends,
be those anointed prophets. Live your baptism.